The following presentation was recorded live by Voices from Jerusalem.
You need 48 tools to properly use your life. To use your potential, to get the most out of living, you need 48 tools. We study this list one every day, and we discuss what does it mean, and how do you do it, and why do you need it.
Do you ever have someone ask you to wake him up? He has to get up in the morning. Please wake me up. Yeah. You say, okay. You come in the morning, you shake him, you say, Joe, you asked me to wake you up. It's time, 7 o'clock. He says, oh, thank you very much. I'm up. Yeah. Come back in 5 minutes, he's sound asleep. You shake him again, you say, Joe, you're supposed to get somewhere. Wake up. He says, right, right. Looks around, right, right. Goes back to sleep right in front of you. Yeah. You say, Joe, you sit him up. You say, you're going to stay up this time? He says, yeah, sure, thanks an awful lot. Come back in 15 minutes, he's asleep. Yeah. You ever seen that? And did you realize that this is us? We do the very same thing. You remember the time that you made up your mind, you know, this is no good, I can't waste my time anymore. I'm really going to start studying real hard, beginning of the term. I'm just frittering away my time. I'm going to regret this, yeah? And you say, yeah, red hot, that's it, right? An hour later, you forgot about the whole thing. You're doing the same thing over again. You understand that? You went back to sleep. You forgot the consequences. Finals, what, when, where, who, what. This is a constant thing that we have in life. You follow? We have insights. We have good resolutions. We know that we got to do things like talk with more consideration, work harder, think more. Trouble is that we're only awake for a moment. You got to struggle to wake up. So we're up to number 19 of the 48 ways, and that is bemiut shena. Bemiut means to minimize. Shena is sleep. We have three aspects of minimize. Positive aspect is you need a little sleep. You notice you need a little sleep, otherwise you don't function too well. B is minimize means don't sleep more than you need. That's the negative aspect. You sleep too much, you get crazy, you get sick. C is minimize, there's the positive negative. Minimizing is the name of the game. Minimizing means to struggle against sleep. So how do we go about doing this? Number one of the how is you've got to decide, is being alive good? Underneath it all, are you trying to get away from it, or do you think it's good to be alive? You find it a struggle and you want to get out of the struggle? Are you looking for for a way to go to sleep? You're waiting for your bed? You see, you better believe that being alive is good, otherwise you'll find your way of going to sleep. B of this is that you've got to appreciate if being alive is good, then sleep is a waste of life, drowsiness is not being alive, and it's robbing you of great parts of your existence. C of this is that realize if you want to waste life, sleep beckons in all its forms. To drowse off, to dream, and to fall thoroughly asleep. It's a way of escaping. So I hope number two is that you've decided that the life is good, which is another aspect of the 48 ways to know what is good about life. Yeah, but if you're with me that life is good, so then two is you must clarify and decide how much you need and how much are you getting. Are you getting more than you need? So B of this is that if you examine what you're doing, you find you have erratic patterns. One night you sleep 10 hours, and one night you sleep 4 hours, and the third night you sleep 6 hours. And unless you make a decision how much sleep and you do it intelligently, you're going to be erratic. See if this is.
Keep an account. Make a decision. How much do you really need to function well? How much is just it's a bad day? You just feel like copping out, or you don't really have a plan, so you're just drowsing along. Do you understand that?
Okay, so number three is that I have good news for you. At least in our instructions for living, we have an upper limit. Everybody should know 8 hours sleep is maximum. Unless you're sick. Sickness is something else again. Yeah? Unless you're sick, you got the flu, or God forbid something worse, you know. 8 hours is a maximum. Number four is that if you're keeping an account, so what you do is every month you should divide by 30, divide by the days of the month, you have an average, and you have a realization that the average amount of sleep, if you're functioning, you're feeling okay, you're not falling apart, that average amount of sleep is the most you need. Some people are doing it with 6, some people are doing it with 7, some people are doing it with 8. But if you know that you're averaging 6 hours sleep, then don't get more. B of this is that if you make that your goal, that no more than my need, and take out the days you're sick, you'll be going down gradually all through your life. Number five is...
One thing you've got to be careful about is don't be afraid. People are scared stiff. They only got 2 hours sleep. They figure their heart is pumping. They're nervous. They're going to die. Don't be afraid. You know what the worst that can happen to you if you don't have enough sleep, the very worst that can happen to you? You fall asleep. That's it. You fall asleep standing up. Yeah. You don't die from a lack of sleep. Don't be afraid. Don't think that you're falling apart, that you're getting sick, because that fear can make you sick. People who have insomnia get sick because of worry, not because they don't have sleep. All right, B of this is to psychologically put an end to this fear of not sleeping. So pay attention to the fact, I don't know how many of you have personal knowledge of it, but armies, at least before 15 years ago, they used to give basic training of 3 months, and they used to keep him on 2 hours sleep. And the guys came out healthy, better shape than they ever were before. I remember when I came to Israel, you picked up a soldier on the highway. As soon as he hit the chair, he was sound asleep. He never even got to ask you where you're going. Because he was just let out of basic training, and zing, he's asleep. In basic training in the old days, yeah, and they'll tell you that they used to catch naps. I mean, if they were at halt, they would sleep standing up. Yeah. And they felt great. They were in great shape. So therefore, don't worry about sleep. You can be in tremendous physical shape with a very minimum amount of sleep and healthy.
You know, if you go for 3 months with only that much sleep, you can't. Don't you have trouble using your mind? Because as soon as you sit down to focus on something, you'll just fall asleep.
Well, it depends on whether you have something to focus on. I mean, if you're in a firefight, you'll be wide awake. You know, if you're out in the jungle and a Viet Cong is creeping up on you, you'll be as alert can be. It's your motivation. It's what you're after. Number six is that at the same time, it is important to remember, don't kid yourself. In the army, you can get along with 2 hours sleep and you won't have a worry. You do it today, you start today and get along with 2 hours sleep, you'll fall apart. Now, why is that? That's because in the army, you have social reassurance. You know everybody's doing it. You know that this is army training. They know what they're doing. They're not going to bury their own soldiers. Yeah. So you're reassured underneath it all with the social, the peer pressure. That's okay. I'm not going to die. If I'm going to die, then they have no army because everybody's going to die. Yeah. While if you're on your own, your doubts will come and you say, I feel something. I'm getting delirious. And all right, number seven is that you got to motivate in order to get along with less sleep, to be ready to fight the sleepiness, the tiredness, the dullness, the zombiness. In order to do this, you have to focus again and again on a purpose, on a love of life, on appreciating the pleasure of what you're doing. If you do, then you've got it. If you're going out fishing, you get up after 3 hours sleep, you never noticed that you only got 3 hours sleep, you're excited. You're looking forward. You're fully alert. If you get up after 3 hours sleep to go to school, you're down. You say, what the heck am I doing? You understand? In Toronto, they have scheduled for 4 o'clock in the morning a hockey rink. Yeah? The kids come piling out full of life, pep. But did you ever get up 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work? Yeah? Look at the guy going, but going to hockey, whoa! Because they're looking forward, they're enjoying it, they're into it. Whatever it is, they look at it as pleasure. Number eight is that And Jewish consciousness, and we refer to Jewish consciousness as something that was well known amongst the Jewish people. Western consciousness is baseball. You can't imagine a kid coming from the United States doesn't know what baseball is about, right? In Jewish consciousness, it was impossible to meet a Jewish kid who didn't know what a mishmor was. Thursday nights was the night of mishmor, where everybody stayed up all night, and there were villages where the whole village would stay up all night and the next day, and they would sleep on Shabbat. We have a mishmor here in the yeshiva, and it's a proving ground. It's a test area. How to struggle against sleep. To get to know what the struggle is about. That there's a period you figure nothing is going to go in. You get a second wind. What changes when you're interested in what you're studying. I mean, it's a whole experience. It's like simulated combat, you know. But it's the real combat. It's like the Russians are supposed to be rotating troops in Afghanistan to give them the real experience of war. Yeah? It makes tougher troops. This is the real thing when you decide you're going to stay up. And you feel like going to sleep. Number 9 is,
when we are fascinated and interested, no problem. That's the technique. One of the 48 ways is be fascinated by what you're doing. There's a technique of getting fascinated by what you're doing. Instead of an accident. Okay, so what other experiences can we draw a technique from? Do you understand? So B of this is that, look, when you have joy, sleep vanishes. Did you ever struggle with sleep and somebody told you a piece of good news? You're not asleep. You're bubbling with excitement. Yeah. Fresh, awake, zing. You want to call someone.
So if you can learn how to live with joy, sleep vanishes. C of this is, anybody who studied all night or a good part of the night knows that you get a second wind. Stick in there and all of a sudden your mind starts working all over again. Yeah. For a while, it's just a waste of time. You just but nothing. But then, down, you get a second wind, just like in running or in anything else. 4 is,
if you really have to study, just put your feet in cold water or on a cold floor. You can't fall asleep. You're alert. Yeah. 5 is, do exercise. And the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and the Mishnah in Yuma says, he did push-ups. He was supposed to stay up all Yom Kippur night. So they would do push-ups to stay awake.
Number 10 is, now translate this to living. Yeah. Don't walk around half dull, pushing through. Stay alert, awake. How? You got the techniques. You got to learn how to throw yourself into these things. You follow? Number 11, fight this sleepiness, drowsiness, zombieism that is plaguing us, that is really our enemy. We're giving up, we're slow, we're using a fraction of our potential. It's just times when we're excited about a project, that our creative juices, our interests, our alertness, our alive critical faculties are awake. Yeah. Use your faculties at all times. Fight this drowsiness. All right, number 12 is,
Jewish consciousness was that there were people in my days, there were people who never went to sleep during the week. My father was one of them. He would go to sleep on the table, on the shtender. You know? He wouldn't go to sleep. He wouldn't go to bed during the week, only on Friday night. My father, blessed memory, was a man like that. Never. Well, I wouldn't say never. There were times that he went to sleep, but it was very unusual that he went to sleep. I would find him in the morning on the table, on the shtender, and he went. He was learning, and then he'd fall asleep. He was a businessman. He wasn't a rabbi. He was a businessman, lived in the United States. I was born in the United States. It was 504 Grand Street in that room. I'd come in the morning. If I got up before him, there he was. Yeah. I was asleep on the shtender. B of this is that I had friends, you understand, who would go to sleep, but they would go to sleep on the floor. Why would you sleep on the floor? Much easier to get up. If you got to get up in the morning, sleep on the floor, you just get up. You'll find you don't cling to a floor. You cling to a bed. Yeah. So I just want you to appreciate the dimensions that we took this seriously. Yeah, this desire for living, translated into living, to use your time, to struggle against this desire to cop out, to escape. That was a fighting people. Yeah. It wasn't that we didn't appreciate it. Shabbos was a time for a good bed. Yeah. To indulge. Yeah. Number 13 is that
if you take this seriously, be aware that needs change.
We have a consciousness in our instructions for living that when you're studying Torah, when you're growing full time, yeah, you need minimum sleep because there's an excitement of life itself. You're really into living. On the other hand, B is that if you have aggravation, because the business is going bad, you hate what you're studying, etc., you need more. So you should know that, you know, because you were doing great at one period with 2 hours sleep, don't think that sometimes you add another hour.
Okay, number 14 is, now what about the positive? How do we use the positive? Yeah. So the best way in Judaism we say is understand, what does sleep do? Sleep, it unravels us. It takes out the kinks. It takes out mistakes. It gives us time to heal, bodily and mentally. When you're into a kink, you go to sleep, you have a new attitude towards life in the morning. Yeah? Then use it intentionally for this purpose. So B of this is, the easiest way of using it intentionally for this purpose is a nap. When you find yourself stymied and studying, etc., take a 10-minute nap, 15-minute nap. We say 15 minutes is good, 20 is the utmost. I mean, that's our instructions. You go for a half an hour nap, that's it. You killed your night of study, you're not going to get up. If you get up, it'll be a struggle to become alert again. It'll be terrible. Yeah. C of this is that you've got to appreciate, even if you don't sleep, 10 minutes of relaxing. You know, just try to sleep. Don't worry about whether you're going to fall asleep or not. D of this is anticipate the fresh start. Do you understand? Don't look at sleep as this is the reward of a day's labor. Yeah? Look at sleep as a regrouping for tomorrow's anticipated growth. You're not enjoying life so much, but you do believe that it's worthwhile sticking around because maybe you'll discover that life is worthwhile. Yeah? Okay, then go to sleep to recharge the batteries for that quest of what is the secret of the worthwhileness of living. Okay, number 15 is that the really positive aspect of using sleep is that every morning after you slept, yeah, every morning as soon as you wake up, rethink, relearn, reevaluate, and revise what happened yesterday. Try it. It's fantastic. You made mistakes. You were drowsy yesterday. You know how you talked to the customer or how you talked to the teacher or how you talked to a friend or what you did while you were touring. Or how you reacted to a stranger. You were reacting, but now go over it and see your mistakes. Wake up. You say, well, that's crying over spilt milk. No, that's learning from your mistakes in a positive sense. Yeah. But then I'm going to make the mistake again. No, as you grow, you're going to put it into effect. Now you've got something to do while you're getting dressed. You know, instead of just groaning, moaning, you know, go over the day and you'll be dressed and showered without even knowing that you've been working, and you'll feel a lot more productive in living. Try it. Try it tomorrow morning. Number 16 is that we said the most important aspect of minimizing sleep is the positive negative. The positive negative is the struggle to wake up and stay awake. So A of this is stay awake. As the rabbis say, Ugu Yishenu Mishanaschem, wake up from your sleep. Stay awake, get out of illusions. Don't think that it'll be easy to get a job when you graduate college. You have people, you know what the problems are. So then what's the good? Okay, think. What can you do about it? How do you prepare? Don't get the shock of the cold bath when you graduate college. What, you didn't know? Don't have illusions about romance lasting the rest of your life. Again, you have to believe that life is worthwhile, that there's something beautiful about living. Otherwise, we want to run away. B of this is, the rabbis say, Hakitsu mital damaschem. Wake up from your drowsiness. It's like a guy who's drowsy. You know, you're driving a car and you're drowsy and You notice for a moment that you fell asleep. And well,
for that moment, you're wide awake again. Yeah, you're not going to let it go happen. You veer off the road and you catch yourself. Yeah, come on, you guys. Remember that? Yeah? Boy, that shock. Ah, that's adrenaline. Yeah? Then you relax a little bit. And,
Best thing is drive to the side of the road, please. Take a cat nap. 15 minutes, the whole problem is gone. Yeah? Question is, how are you going to wake up? That's a problem. But it's better to get over there on the side of the road. See if this is. Struggle for that clarity. You have a sense that it's good to be alive. You want to hold on to this. You don't want to quit this game of living. Why? Because living is good. Why? What's the pleasure of being alive? That's a struggle to wake up. You see, that's the struggle to get out of a drowsiness.
D of this is that
what's the point of living? You know, in Western consciousness, you got to be successful, got to make it. Yeah. Underneath it all, this is what's driving, right? In Jewish consciousness, the whole struggle of life is to know what. To know what you're living for, to recognize the basic drive that is within us. What is man's quest? To clarify it. It's one process of waking up until the day you die. Of course, we do it from both ends. Wake up to your own knowledge and to wake up by looking at the answer. And the answer is in the Shema, in the Mezuzah, and on the Tefillin.
Now, there's a story that is Western consciousness is Little Red Riding Hood. Did you ever hear of Little Red Riding Hood? It's unimaginable somebody born in the Western world in the United States or in France didn't hear of Little Red Riding Hood. Yeah? In Jewish consciousness, there was a story that when we were in our mother's womb, the Almighty sent an angel, and the angel sat there in our mother's womb, and he taught us all of wisdom. All of wisdom, everything there is to know about living. And just before we're born, the same angel that taught us all of this, he touches us under the nose, dung, and we forget it all.
So, like, you've got to appreciate these stories that were told to children have a message. It contains a message. If you think about it for a moment, tell me, what's the message of Little Red Riding Hood? You know, every kid who hears this story, you know, he's 2 years old and his grandmother comes to visit. You know, what's the message? Look at your grandmother's teeth. Hmm? See what ears she's got? Right. Watch out. That's the message.
Remember, it's a two-year-old kid. Yeah.
Now, what's the message to a two-year-old kid the angel taught you and you forgot? What's being implanted there? You know, you just have to remember. Now, what's the process of remembering? The process of remembering is really waking up. Let me show you. See, a lot of fellows here took geometry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how many guys can prove that the angles of a triangle equal 180 degrees? Well, it's one of the basic theorems.
Tell me if this recalls to you the proof. Does this look like a triangle? Yeah? Okay. Look, this is a parallel line to this line. Oh, now I see it. You see? Now go ahead, tell me. Go ahead, what? This is a parallel lines, transverse line, alternate angles, right? 108, yeah, you got it? Anybody who's taken geometry, it's like a moment of recognition. Once it's in there, ding, that's it, that was it. But until you can recall it, it's the irritation of waking up, of trying to recapture it. Do you see that? Now we say all the truth is there. You know what living is about. You have a definition of love. You love someone. You know what it means to be good. Otherwise, what do you mean you want to be good? But you can't define it. I give you a definition. If it's the right one, it's like a light. That's what we have to reach for. That doesn't make sense. That's how we know we know. You follow? And that's the process of waking up to what we are. Are you looking for pleasure? Is life good? You check it out. Clarify. Get the definition. What is good about life? What is pleasure? What are the greatest pleasures? Should you really know yourself? Sure you. You know that. It's instant recognition. But it's trouble. You can't know yourself. Get rid of that confusion. Oh, it's trouble. Of course it's trouble. Living is trouble. Big deal. But boy, it's exciting.
Yeah. Number 17 is that particularly watch out for zombies, which means don't walk, talk, eat like a dead man without any thought in your head. You remember times you sitting there eating dung, 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 and you notice your head is completely dead, not a thought in your mind. Yeah. Don't do that. So what do? Keep shaking your head to stay awake. What are you doing? What does the food taste like? What are you going to do? Wake up! When we walk out the door, zang, we turn into zombies. Yeah, we avoid the lampposts, yeah. We sort of go in the, sometimes, right? But zing, yeah. Keep your mind, struggle, keep awake. Ask yourself, what am I living for? What am I doing? Where am I going? Why am I going there? Now, keep struggling to keep that quotient, that life quotient going. Number 18 is that, look, in Judaism we say the way to wake up is tshuva. Tshuva is translated as repentance. Repentance, again, is a dirty word. Repent, that's like sin. Sin, repent, fuya. In Hebrew, the word tshuva means return. Yeah? So the word for sin is mistake. And how about it? Did you ever make a mistake? Sure. You know, we can own up to mistakes. Well, would you like to straighten out? Straighten out. That's tshuva. Return means to straighten out. You get it? So how do you do that? Realize that, A, whenever you learn something new, be appreciative that you've been asleep until now. It doesn't matter when you learn. It's an insight that you have, a recognition, a moment of recognition that life can be beautiful, that it's a gorgeous world. Pleasure is something you got to work at. A moment, an insight, a truth. Yeah. So realize, until now, I haven't been with this. You see? I've been asleep at this issue, that I should work at pleasure. Yeah. Realize, until now, you thought that pleasure was what? Was happening or an indulgence? This is a Western attitude. Do you see that? In Judaism, we say pleasure, that's the name of the game. That's your obligation. Okay. This is an insight. At any rate, you make this decision, you say, you know, the man has a point, or something I really should consider, right? So that's a moment of being awake. Does that make sense? That's like the guy, you asked him to wake you up, he's pulling you at your shoulder, and you say, what time is it? It's 7 o'clock. Yeah, I have to get up. Okay, thanks a lot for waking me up. Yeah? Now what's going to happen? Right? We always fall asleep again. You're going to walk out of this classroom, yeah? You say, man has a point, at least I should think this through. After all, pleasure is something that I am interested in, yeah? And if there is a variety of pleasure, I should get a list. Wonder if they have a list. All these thoughts are flittering through your mind for the moment. But as soon as you walk out of your friend, you got that. And back asleep. Is that right? That's it. So B of this is, how do you do that? First is realize the fact that you know something now, that you agree, that you have that first crack at light, at a direction, does not in any way say that you will keep it. Get that realization in. Yeah? C is find out how to capitalize on these moments of insight. So we have one of these commandments is tshuva, is return. And you look it up. You look up the instructions, how to use it. But number 20, I'll give you capsulized, how to wake up. So A is you hear wisdom, you get an insight, somebody tells you something that makes sense, you see something that makes an impression, yeah? Is that right? A, that's the first thing, that moment of awareness, yeah? B is immediately make a decision. The decision can be a qualified one. I am going to think about this. Yeah, it's important enough for me to look into this further. Without that, you know, it's not that you got to work at pleasure. Nah, that's too much. Too radical. Yeah, I'm used to just sleeping along and waiting for it to happen. But there is something there that disturbs me, and it is worthwhile thinking about it, whether there is really an attitude towards living that you can actually work at having pleasure. But you got to draw that decision. Otherwise, there's no way that you're going to wake up. C is, you got to take it a step further, and see your mistake until now. Look at it as a mistake. I thought nobody can teach me anything about having pleasure. You can't teach wisdom. See the mistake. And see one effect of it. Look at that. I'm not even looking into what I want. D of this is see the damage. What's robbed you of? Look,
20 years old, and you haven't made a study of pleasures? What did you learn? You learned mathematics, plain geometry, and history, and you learned the multiplication table, and you learned geography, and you take a course in chemistry. You kind of see it as a mistake. This is crazy. See the damage. Then you look at it, you go, wow.
E is extended for life. 70 years old, and somebody will tell you, you know what the pleasures you could have gotten? You get this? 70 years old, you know what life really was really about? You see how this gets you resolved that I'm going to look into this.
Yeah.
F is decide that you can change. I can look into what pleasure is. I can master this. I can make my list. I can ask. I can search for it. You have to decide that things can be different. Otherwise, with all this, you'd just be paralyzed. You know, look at that. Regret. Decide that you can change. G is resolve that you're going to change. Resolve, I'm going to look into this. H is, and I don't know whether you'll go along with this, but in Judaism we say this is effective, regret. Being stupid and be ashamed of it. Regret, that's the way to wake up. Say to yourself, isn't that silly? I studied all these things. I don't study what my pleasure is. That I don't have time to do. I got to go to the Greek islands. I got to go to museums. And I can't sit down and ask myself, what is my pleasure? Where it is, I can't study it. Don't have the time to spend in the yeshiva to find out what pleasure is about. Right? That's a commercial. Spend a little time in the yeshiva. But teach you what pleasure is about, a little bit about it, right? But the idea is that regret and be ashamed, and that's a bad mistake. It's just as bad as buying the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, you'd be ashamed of yourself if you buy the Brooklyn Bridge. You spend, even if you got a bargain, you know, $100 for the Brooklyn Bridge, yeah? Doesn't matter, you'll be ashamed of yourself. But that was a bargain. So here you are, you spend 4 years in college, and you don't know what you're living for, you don't know what your pleasure is. You'd be ashamed. You bought the Brooklyn Bridge, friends. That's what makes you permanently awake. I is that in the instructions for living that we get from the Almighty, so it should properly be done and really bring you awake if you do all this with a consciousness that there is a God who loves you. Do all this in the front of that Creator who created you to have pleasure and gave a world for your pleasure. Number 21 is track down your drowsiness. First, you got to track down what is distracting you. What is the drowsiness? You see, you got to be aware of it in order to fight it off. Number 22 is that for living, take the big issues and struggle for them. You want greatness. You want to be good. You want to help humanity. You want to avoid a third world war. What are you going to do about it? Struggle to become awake about what is your responsibility, what can be done. Don't slow off. It's too difficult and leave it quitting because it's too much problems. You want to be great. Recognize that. Yeah? So what is greatness? That's too irritating. Forget about it. Okay. So I won't be great. So I'll just be average. You want to be a mediocrity? No. What? Don't kid yourself. Struggle about it. Now, why do we need this, friend? The struggle against drowsiness, the struggle to stay awake, the struggle to wake up, that's really the struggle for life. Remember, the Jewish people say that the whole life is one constant struggle to really be aware of the beauty of existence. That's the whole struggle of living. That's the whole name of the game, to have that ultimate pleasure, to get a clarity on it, to live with it, to walk with it. We happen to say that that's being with God.
Now, an assignment. Well, an assignment is get that drowsiness out. What are you living for? That's number one. You'll find it very irritating. But what do you want? What's the ultimate pleasure? What do you want on your tombstone? What do you want inscribed? Not that you graduated college, yeah? Not that I was able to support myself, made $1 million, was a famous man. He was a famous man. I helped humanity. Oh, that's important to you. What else? Get a hold of that, you know. The final sleep, what do you want inscribed? What's the meaning of existence?